A few years back, in a number of states, a religious organization paid to put up some billboards on some heavily trafficked highways and interstates, and they called it a God Speaks campaign. So on these big billboards, black backgrounds, there were in white letters, there was these very succinct statements as if they were communicated by God and signed by God. And I want to just share a few of those. "Tell the kids I love them," signed God. "Let's meet at my house on Sunday before the game," signed God. "We need to talk," signed God. "That love thy neighbor thing, I meant it," signed God. Just a couple more here. "Will the road you are on get you to my place?" Signed God. And one last one, this one sounds a little bit ominous. "Don't make me come down there," signed God. Now, humor aside, does God still communicate with us in our own day and age? You know, certainly not by this means, but you know, through the witness of the scriptures and our spiritual tradition, you know, God does communicate with us, and you know, there's no place that he can't. Maybe through the sacraments, maybe in a prayer, through another person, God can communicate with us through nature. And in this first reading today from Samuel, it's a very interesting conversation they have, because God's calling this young man, but he doesn't quite get it. And he wakes him, and Samuel goes to Eli and says, you called me. And Eli says, it wasn't me. And it happens a few times. And finally, this elderly man, wise man, realizes it's God calling him. So he says, next time this happens, say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And he does. And it is God. And he does have a plan. He's got a mission for this young man. And I think that line is it's a great line, something for our own spirituality, because we have to have humility. We have to have openness to the voice of God and to his communication. And what does God want to communicate to us? And whatever's going to bring us life. And it's really the gospel message of Jesus in different ways. And for each one of us, God knows us by name. He knows what we need. And if we have a whole open, humble heart in our prayer, through the sacraments, wherever, he's going to give us what we need to continue to grow in friendship and relationship with him. But we have to be careful, because we're human and we can sometimes not hear well. And just think about in our relationships, where we're not all 100% when it comes to listening well. And it's probably true in our relationship with God. And sometimes our filter can be really clogged. And some of the greatest evils in history have come about by people who have said they're doing it in the name of God, or God told me to do it. You think of some of these suicide bombers and terrorists, oftentimes saying they're really doing God's will, and God communicated to them, this is what you need to do. God is never going to have us do anything that's going to violate biblical principles or the Ten Commandments or our spiritual tradition. And that's how human beings can sometimes misinterpret or distort. And so I think we have to be humble in this area. And I think another piece of wisdom from that first reading is Samuel had a wise person who gave him some good counsel. And sometimes it's not all that clear when we're trying to make a decision and we're praying and, you know, seeking God's will. And it really helps to have a wise spiritual sounding board. We can run some things past, because none of us has the full picture. And hopefully we have someone like that in our lives. In our Catholic tradition, we have something called spiritual direction. When I was going through the seminary, we would meet with someone every other week, because in discerning, you know, we need those wisdom figures who can help us. I want to share a little example here. Tomorrow is the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, and I want to share a little story from his life. And back in the mid-60s, in the height of the civil rights unrest in our country, there was a lot of tumult and there was a lot of division and sometimes great hostility. And he recalls this particular experience. "One night after a hectic day, I settled into bed late, and just as I was about to doze off, the phone rang. A hate-filled voice on the other end of the line said, 'Listen, we've taken all we want from you. Before next week, you'll be sorry you ever came to Alabama.' And I actually cleaned that sentence up quite a bit from what was in print. I hung up in terror and sleep would not come. It was as all my fears coalesced into one giant terror. I got out of bed and began to walk the floor. I was ready to give up. With my cup of coffee sitting untouched before me, I tried to think of a way to move out of the picture without appearing a coward. In this state of exhaustion, I decided to take my problem to God. With my head in my hands, I bowed over the table and prayed aloud. The words I spoke to God are still vivid in my memory. Lord, I am here taking a stand for what I believe is right, but now I am afraid. The people are looking to me for leadership, and if I do not stand before them with strength and courage, they also will falter. I am at the end of my powers. I have nothing left. I cannot face it alone. At that moment, I experienced the presence of God as I have never experienced it before. It seemed I heard the quiet reassurance of God's voice saying, "Stand up for righteousness, stand up for truth, and I will be at your side." My fears evaporated and my uncertainty disappeared. I was ready to follow God and face anything. Do you think that was God who communicated that to Martin Luther King Jr.? I think it was. And in the scripture, so often Jesus would say, "Be not afraid. Take courage, it is I." Sometimes that will be the communication of God to us when we're afraid or fearful. There's all kinds of different things the Lord can communicate to the depths of our soul when we're open, when we're humble, and He knows us best. He knows what we need, and that's why we want to speak, Lord. Your servant is listening, and if we listen in the quiet of our soul, I think one of the things the Lord will say to you and me in His own way is communicating our own dignity and value and worth as His children. And there's a dignity and a value and a worth. And it doesn't matter our race, it doesn't matter our ethnicity, or our language, our culture, even our religion. And God, that vision, I think, is really God's vision. In a world where there's a lot of racism, there's a lot of hatred, there's a lot of religious bigotry, ethnic hostility, and I think that saddens the heart of God, and I think He wants to know our value and worth, and also of every other person, whatever their diversity or that background, and strengthen us to live out of that vision. Because there's a lot of voices in the world that's not the voice we hear, but I think God's voice is one where there's a sacredness to every human life, and that connects with another commemoration I just wanted to touch on real briefly. And it's going to happen a little over a week from now. It's a sad anniversary in our country. It's the legalization of abortion through the Roe versus Wade decision. And you think of the tens of millions of unborn lives that have been lost, the lives that have been damaged. And I think that saddens the heart of God, because God's fingerprints are all over His creation. Doesn't matter how old, from the time in the womb all the way to the end of life. And we believe as Catholics of that sacredness of all life. About a week ago, we celebrated the baptism of the Lord. When Jesus came out of the baptismal waters, the voice of the Father was heard, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased." Each one of us here, we are a beloved son, a beloved daughter of God, a beloved child of God. From the very beginning, the time in the womb, to today, to the end of our lives. And that's every human life. And I think the Lord, what He wants us to do, I think He wants us to witness to that truth. And if we listen deep within, we will know our own value in God's eyes and be strengthened to see that in others. Psalm 139, "You form my inmost being. You knit me in my mother's womb. I praise you, God. So wonderfully you made me. Wonderful are your works." God's works are wonderful. And that includes you and me. And may we be strengthened to see that in others. To conclude, in the gospel today, we hear the calling of some of those first disciples, and they said yes. God still calls each one of us today into deeper friendship, into a deeper discipleship, so that we can witness to His presence in our world, in a world that needs the message of the gospel. So may we have that humility that Samuel had. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening, to hear the voice of God, to hear our own value and worth as His beloved sons and daughters, and to share that light and that truth in our world. So may God bless you. May be strengthened through the Eucharist to live out the gospel message with courage, compassion, and conviction. God bless you.